the annual sticker like anyone else who pays for the sticker.
Okay, because I read that a little. I see what you're saying, but I read that differently.
Okay.
I read it to say that, and not that I disagree with it, but I read it to say that a person who presents each year a copy of their determination letter to a park attendant. I read that part to say you could go to any park with your letter, and then that would suffice as the permit, which is reasonable too. Because don't we have a program where we allow the veteran or active duty person on leave to put their leave papers on the dashboard? So that's kind of similar to that, isn't it?
Mr. Chairman, that was changed last year. Gotcha. Senator Fredrickson had a little better idea that they'd basically be issued a daily pass or a 24-hour okay. pass when they, rather than leaving the papers on the dash, they just go to the station okay. when they're entering the park, show their papers, and get a daily pass to be in the park that day.
All right. So is it just me that's reading that wrong, or could it be interpreted?
That's all I had it the first time too.
Okay,
Mr. Chairman, it could be worded a little bit better.
Okay, we can just clarify that. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, currently right now there is a free lifetime pass or a free lifetime license for fishing. That's basically all that is a hunting license or a fishing license in that form. I don't know if that's something that would like to be considered as far as economics and whereas you just mail a letter to the DNR and they issue this little license, if you will.
I thought that's what we were getting away from. Right. When we adopted this new amendment, instead of the original bill had a special permit that kind of goes along the lines of what you were saying. And so we're just saying that you can get your normal park permit but just by showing the determination letter of disability.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm just trying to figure out what we intend and then make sure the language conforms.
Mr. Chairman, if you want to suggest an amendment that might clarify what you're talking about.
Go ahead.
If on line 1.6, delete, allow free, and issue an annual park permit for no charge, and then on line 1.9, delete everything before the period. So it would read, the commissioner shall issue an annual park permit for no charge for entrance to state parks and recreation areas for any veteran with a total disability, et cetera, as long as they show that copy of the determination letter. That might
okay.
that might be a little clearer.
All right.
Think of on the fly.
Okay.
Here.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, you want
Senator Ferguson?
Senator Kubley, would you like to have? Did you hear the proposed amendment from Senator Council?
Mr. Chair and Senator Fredrickson, I did. I think that would be fine. It does seem to me it would be a little more clear, but you never know. I thought it was clear to begin with. So.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the amendment.
All right. Senator Dibble, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, Mr. Chair. I mean, I think that's fine. It's just like going into the little kiosk or whatever, the little building. You pay your $25, you get your sticker, you throw it on your windshield, and you're good to go for the next year.
Yeah.
This is just, instead of paying the $25, you're showing your letter. It's fairly straightforward.
And so the disabled veterans group understands that it would only be allowed to be placed on one car. Is that what you're interested in? Do you understand that? I just wanted to make sure that we all are on the same page. That's fine? Okay. Mr. Meyer, do you want to comment?
Mr. Chair, members, we were working with the author here to make sure this worked as efficiently as possible, and there was very minimal impacts to the financial constraints. We do not have a lifetime parks license, so that would cause the creation of a new one. I think the amendment here and what you've done with it will work very well. Thank you.
An idea for next budget session. Thank you, Mr. Meyer. On the Fredrickson Amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. Further discussion? If not, someone want to make a motion?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kubley, did Senator Anderson want to see this in her finance division?
Mr. Chair and Senator Fredrickson, there have been no requests to see this further. So,
okay. Why don't we lay this over, and if it's not, then we will... We'll send it to the right committee, but if there's no fiscal impact and the department says there's not, then we'll lay it over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Senator Sharon, thank you for your patience.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
Pretty straightforward.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm here. Senate File 3014, and I have an amendment, the A1 amendment, that I would like to introduce to place a bill in its the condition in which the author intends.
I don't have an answer.
We'll pass out the amendment.
That would be fine.
While that's being passed out, the amendment is simply refining another section of the law that needs to come into line with the language proposed for change in Senate File 3014. This repeats the same language in another section of the statute.
Senator Sharon moves the A1. On the motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. Senator Sharon.
Thank you very much. This Senate File 3014 is a bill related to gaming, modifying ammunition restrictions in deer zones during the five-day period before open firearm season and ending the second day after the close of the season in an area where deer may be taken. This bill seeks to change 97B.041, exception number 4, to allow ammunition that is more humane to hunt predators. Predator hunters are restricted during the 22-day deer hunting season by that section of this statute. What the change actually does is create a more humane ammo to hunt predators. Under the current law, the hunter is only allowed to have a shotgun and a 22 long rifle ammo to hunt predators during that 22-day season. The 22 long rifle does not have the knockdown power in order to take predators beyond 100 or 150 yards. Now, I think that there may be another handout. Is this
nope,
a handout?
That's the handout.
This is among the materials that were handed out to you. I would draw your attention to that because you can see that there are six examples of ammo across the top of this page. Under the current law, the three ammos on the right side of the page are allowed. The 22 short is a ammo that tends to be used for self-defense, and it's used in pocket pistols. It is capable of use of impacting very tiny pests like mice and very, very small game. The 22 long is essentially an obsolete ammo. There are no new firearms that are being designed in order to use this, which leaves the 22 long rifle, which is what I was referring to earlier. This is the most common form of ammunition. It's used in rifles and pistols, but it has a very short range. A large drop-off occurs after 150 meters or 490 feet. It rises at about 50 yards but drops rapidly at 150. It's good for rats and for squirrels but not for predators. So what is being proposed here is additional ammo that allows for those who are not interested necessarily in deer hunting but are continuing to utilize all of the hunting season for predator hunting. And I have with me the person who brought this forward for your consideration to answer any questions that you may have.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and fellow committee members.
This is Orville Stammerers, who is presenting.
I am here to try to get 97B.041, possession of firearms and ammunition, and restricted in deer zones. And also 97B621 raccoons to include the 22 mag, 17 HMR, and the 17 Mach 2. Poaching seems to be the big stumbling block in the way of this bill passing. Yes, there is poaching going on. The question is how much. Now, to my understanding, there is no way to verify how much poaching is going on. I will refer back to this at a later point here. Poaching is going on. Maybe it's time to go after the poachers, hit them where it hurts the most, in the pocketbook. Maybe the laws need to be changed to make more of an impact on the poacher. Will poaching stop? My answer is no. Does it stop people from driving intoxicated, people killing people, or anything else? No. Reason is they all think they are not going to get caught. One of the great sayings, they'll never catch me. Another question you may ask is, why do you want to hunt predators during the deer season? Well, I'll answer that. The DNR has put out hunting seasons in which we can hunt, and it happens that the fur-bearing hunting season runs along with the deer season. I have paid for a license which allows me to hunt predators, and I want to hunt them, and not all the people want to hunt deer. As far as the 17s and the 22 mags being more effective killers, yes, they are. The hunting industry has given us technology to come up with better ammunition to kill game quickly and humanely. Now, isn't that our goal? The 17s and the 22 mag do just that. Now, getting back to the question of poaching, not being able to verify how much poaching is going on. If it cannot be verified, how can one say that the 17s and the 22 mag are even a factor? A poacher will use any weapon at his or her disposal, no matter what caliber. Last year, the bow weight was dropped from 45 to 30 pounds. Why was that? It's a new technology the industry gave the archery industry. Now that the hunting industry has given us the new technology and ammunition in the 17s and the 22 mag to kill and take game quickly and humanely. Now it's your job and obligations as members of the DNR and you as legislators to allow us to hunters to go afield with the best equipment to take game quickly and humanely. The 17s and the 22 mags will do just that. This argument has gone on for years, and we have to stop using poaching as a crutch to solve all our hunting problems. It's time to put it to rest. The hunting industry has given us the technology in the 17s and the 22 mag to do just the job quickly and humanely. And now it's time to pass Bill SF 3014. If you have any questions, I'd be try to answer them the best I can.
Questions for the witness. Senator Sharon?
Simply to say that Mr. Myers is here. My understanding is that the DNR is neutral on this issue. I don't know if he wants to speak to that.
Senator Fredrickson?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Stamarellis, what is the difference in effectiveness between the 22 long rifle and the 17 and the 22 mags if somebody were to use them for taking a deer, for example?
Mr.
Is there much difference between what's legal now and the 22
okay.
Magnum?
Mr. Chair and Senator, on the back of your thing, it gives you the velocities. And if you look, the 17s and the 22 mag are almost doubled in velocity. So they will reach out there, and when you hit them, they're going to go down. You're not going to sit there. With that 22 long rifle, you're going to injure more and wound more game than you're going to take. As far as poaching goes, I can kill a deer with that 22 short just as I can with a 22 mag. The deer's close enough, I can stick my gun out the window. If you shoot him in the head, you will more than likely kill him.
Why don't you just wait until it's closer?
Excuse me?
Why don't you just wait until it's closer?
Well, that's what poachers do. They drive around in their car and stick the gun out the window when they're standing right next to them. So the 22s aren't that loud. Where you get into these other calibers, they're a little bit louder.
What I'm asking is, when you're predator hunting,
okay,
why don't you use the same load that you have now or allowed now and just wait until they're closer? They'll certainly be knocked down easier if they're closer.
Well, then I can use my shotgun. In that case, I'm looking to get something out that's 100 yards or more. If you can't bring them in, I mean, you're wasting your time. And if I go out there with a 22, if I do shoot at them, you're just going to wound more than you take. And I just don't prefer to do that.
Okay. Department?
Mr. Chair, members, as Senator Sharon said, We do officially have a neutral position, but seeing the ballistics and things, it does allow for farther shots, and there could be more potential use of these weapons and cartridges during the hunting season on, during the big game season on deer.
The 17 HMR, the 17 Mach 2, how does that compare to current rifles that are used to hunt deer, Mr. Meyer?
Mr. Chair, members, not having a ballistics table here in front of me, you can see in the back of the page they handed out that 17 HMR with 20 grains or 17 grains is 2,550 feet per second. Doing some reloading on my own, my 30-06 cartridges, I usually aim for about 2,500 to 3,000 feet per second. So while this won't have the long-range capability that those cartridges would have, it certainly will have the knockdown power at 100 yards plus.
So isn't it the same as a deer rifle, what they're proposing here?
Mr. Chair, members, it does have those types of velocities at certain yardages, yes.
Projectiles and things.
Okay, Mr. Stammerheiler.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and committee members, the ones that we're trying to put in are all rim fire cartridges. Most of all the deer rifles are center fire. That's why the DNR, we can't use 223s and 222s and that for predators during the deer season.
What difference does center versus rim fire make?
There's a lot of difference. The cartridges are a lot bigger.
Its implications, though, in terms of hunting.
Well,
deer.
Oh, yeah, right.
Velocity.
Yeah.
It's velocity.
Velocity.
All right. Okay. Senator Fredrickson, did you have your hand up? All right. Senator Sharon.
I just would say that the issue I think that I would want to highlight is that if we do not change these other, this other ammo, actually is a 22LR that's left, is utilized and it loses its velocity, so it is more likely to harm or maim than it is to really take down, which is what is at issue, I think, here for the group that's asking for this change. That's what makes it more humane. It doesn't mean that they won't be hunting with this, but as you move beyond 150 yards, it's more likely to harm or maim.
I guess that's what my question was. Why do you have to take those long shots with a 22, shouldn't you be waiting until they're closer anyway, Mr. Stammer?
Mr. Chair, what I'm getting at is the predator doesn't come in. He sits out there at 100, 150 yards. You have no shot. I mean, you can't take a shot at that with a 22. You wouldn't even dare. I wouldn't.
Last year, didn't we pass all these new types of predator calls that you can use now?
Electronics.
All the electronics, you can call them right in now, can't you?
That doesn't mean they're going to come in, Mr. Chair. You can see, you can go out there, that you can put on your collar and you can call from now until tomorrow, and if they can sit, they'll sit out there at 150, 200 yards and sit and look at you. They ain't going to come in.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Yeah, that's true, Mr. Chair. Thank you. That's true. A 100-yard shot for a predator is a real close shot. I mean, that's about as close as they're ever going to come because of their, I mean, they're just really hard to hunt. They're cunning and they just...
Mr. Chairman, just my own personal experience. I have two or three 22 rifles, and since 1961, I've had a 22 Magnum, and there's a world of difference between a 22 and a 22 Magnum. Like our witness said, a 22 Magnum will take down a coyote or a fox at 100 to 150 yards pretty easily, and you will not get many fox or coyote with a 22 at that range.
But the issue here is that you're allowed to use it before and after deer rifle season.
Mr. Chair, that is correct.
And so, DNR, can you answer this question, Mr. Meyer? What is the purpose of the current rule then? Why do we limit it? Why do we make them shoot with only a 22 during the deer rifle season?
Mr. Chair, members, the original intent of the law, the way I understand it, is to, and maybe it'd be best if I brought up a conservation officer to explain it to you, how they,
yeah,
how it's enforced. That'd probably be easier. There we go.
Short straw.
We'll take Eni.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself.
My name is Jason Peterson, and I am a conservation officer with the Department of Natural Resources. I was not expecting to speak today, but feel free to.
It's all right. You still have a nice tie on anyway.
Thank you very much.
Your mother would be proud. What is the reason behind the current policy? Why do they have to shift ammunition during the deer firearms season?
Well, be my opinion that the reason that we have that law is so that folks don't get, tempted by taking long-range shots at deer with deer rifles. Those smaller cartridges tend to travel a less distance and be less lethal at a shorter distance. So that would be the reason why we have that law.
So the ammunition that's being proposed shoots farther than a current deer?
No, rifle? I'm sorry if that's what I put out there. The current one in this here at the 22 mag, the 17 HMR, and the 17 Mach 2 are going to go much further than the currently allowed 22 long rifle or 22 short. Those would be about your only options. Like the senator had said, there's really no 22 longs out there anymore. So I think the law is to prevent people that would have unlawful intentions of using a cartridge that would be capable of taking deer during the deer season.
Why do these loads provide an advantage? Why wouldn't a poacher just use a 30-06 or something else?
They may, but a 30-06 is very powerful, very loud, would raise a lot of suspicion probably. As with these smaller rimfires, the loudness isn't there. But you still get a considerable amount of range. You also get a considerable amount of velocity and penetration at a larger range.
Okay. So the advantage is sound.
I think so. I think, there's a reason why we have the law as it is. I'm not saying either way, good or bad, but I think there's a sound reason why it's there.
All right. Senator Dibble, does this have to go anywhere?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What about the addition of the raccoon piece? Why are we doing that?
Mr. Chair and Senator Dibble, because the raccoon season is during is a fur bearer, so that would have to be included with to make the laws so they're the same. So you can't be out there hunting predator. I mean, if you're out hunting coyotes, you can hunt raccoon along with that, but they'd have to read the same in order to be correct.
So there's two changes, one to change the ammunition and then the other to change the raccoon season?
Just change the ammunition, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Mr. Chair, it has to be restated in another section of the law because it has to, in order for the entire law to align itself.
Oh, Senator Dibble.
It sounds like folks are out hunting predators and they also want to use raccoons with the same weapon. Even though it's probably not as important with raccoons, you can typically get a lot closer to raccoons. But it sounds like they don't want to have to switch weapons if they're going to take raccoons, too.
Mr. Stemmerheiler?
I did not understand what he said, Mr. Chair.
I guess the question is, why do you want to change it for raccoons? What's the problem now?
Mr. Chair and Senator Dibble, raccoons are a fur bearer, and if you're going to go out there, why go out with a 22? Why might I have to carry two different weapons out there? Why not just carry the 17 and shoot them both ways? Otherwise I have to be carrying two guns out to the field.
So why not other fur bearers as well?
Okay, Mr. Chair and committee members, if I'm out hunting coyotes, and I decide to shoot a raccoon, and I only do it with a 22, and I'm sitting there just with a 17 or a 20 or a 22 mag, I can't.
Where's the raccoon? Oh, okay.
And their season is right in running with the deer season.
Okay. Senator Scobie?
fur bearers that we can shoot that are also taken during the deer hunting season? Or
Mr. Knopf?
Mr. Chairman, might be a good question to ask the department. I'm not aware of other fur bearers that we shoot during the firearms deer season. But you know, it's clear that the one is a possession because you're close to the season, and this other one is the nighttime restrictions. Basically, when you're out hunting at night, this is again was the nighttime restrictions. The reason you were restricting the weapons that can be out there at night was because you didn't want people out poaching deer at night. I mean, that's the reason for it. And they're amending it with the same level under the new language, allowing the same types of weapons to be used at night for hunting raccoons as they are around the deer season. And that's the crucial piece here, is what's allowed, what somebody is allowed to have out at night, because that is a prime poaching time of the day.
All right. Senator Dibble.
Sure. I wonder if it would make sense to the sunset on this policy and ask the department to come back in a year or two or three or five or whatever and let us know if there's been some, if otherwise law-abiding citizens have been tempted to do things they wouldn't have otherwise done because they have this weapon now in their hand. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
See if there's been any more, bad behavior with respect to taking deer just because they have these weapons. I'm wondering how Senator Sharon might feel, maybe putting a sunset on this. And
sunset, evaluate the outcome, whether or not deer are being taken as a result of this. So come back and review for renewal.
Like a 3-year sunset or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why don't you all chat about it? We're going to lay this bill over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill anyway.
We can make
Senator
amendments
Dibble,
at
Senator
that
time. Sharon, department can discuss what option might be best, including whether a sunset would be good.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
All right, Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chairman, I know you're laying this over, but just in case this amendment was going to be used somewhere else, on line 1.10, I think the LOMG should be just long. I think they were trying to say long, 22 short, long, and long rifle, not LOMG rifle.
All right.
Just a typo.
All right. Oh. We'll keep that in mind. Okay, Senator Fredrickson, have you agreed to pursue your bill tomorrow?
Okay.
Or is it a quick one?
Chairman, it's very short, and it deals internally only with the Department of Natural Resource account.
All right, thank you.
It'll allow us to do that.
For the size of that hand.
Mr. Chairman, while Mr. Meyer is distributing that handout, I'll briefly describe the bill. There's two sections to it. The first section adds a paragraph to the facilities management account, and that would, paragraph B would be in effect when the proceeds of the money from section 2 of the bill would be available. They would go into that account. And then basically section 2 would allow when the Department of Natural Resources makes a sale of an administrative site, that monies would go into the special account that's in Section 1 and could be used by the department for other administrative buildings and lands. Mr. Chairman, it would allow them to consolidate some of their administrative holdings and give them an incentive for doing that.
Mr. Chair, members, two things that I had passed out. The first is a map of all of our locations throughout the state. Currently, we have over 180 offices. As you drive about the state and in your districts, I'm sure you know exactly where all of these are. We have a number of different people. Some are multiple discipline, parks and rec, forestry, fisheries, et cetera. We're trying to figure out how do we consolidate our office space? How do we manage our space to make us more effective in our travel and reduce our energy consumption? And how do we operate with our stakeholders out there? Perhaps the best is to work as we have in Senator Stump's office or Senator Stump's district and work with a county facility, a MnDOT County DNR type facility. What this bill does, if you look on the back of this fact sheet, and I apologize for the copying here, currently when we sell an administrative site, the revenues go directly into the land acquisition account. So that land acquisition account is used for purchasing units of the Outdoor Recreation Act, WMAs, SNAs, parks. It doesn't give us a lot of incentive to sell these sites and build new ones because we don't have any funding source to do that. What we're asking the change in the facilities management account to do is to allow when we sell an administrative site to allow those funds to be transferred into the facilities management account for the purposes of, let's see, you see it on the back on 2.3, to use to acquire facilities or renovate existing buildings for administrative use or to acquire land for design and construct administrative buildings for the Department of Natural Resources. We will still be working cooperatively with the Department of Administration on our building site location plans as we do now, and we will also still be working on the capital side of things through the bonding process for larger sites. This just gives us the ability to work on one we're talking about right now is a location in Zimmerman, a small office site. There's about 5 or 10 people there. We need to move that site. It's antiquated, unused. The county wants us to work with us. The city wants to work with us to help office those sites, those people. And then we would sell that site, allow us to perhaps work on that joint facility, do restorations in another facility. It gives us a tool and incentives to really reduce our facilities management out there.
What impact will this have on the purchase of WMAs then?
Mr. Chair, none. We aren't selling these facilities right now, Mr. Chair, just because there's not a lot of incentive for us to do it. Several that we have sold in the past have gone to pay off the land sale requirement that's currently in statute, but none of these administrative site dollars have gone for the purchase of outdoor recreation units at this time.
But if you do, under current law, it would have to go towards an account. What was the name of the account?
It would go to the land acquisition account.
Land acquisition account. And under this proposal, it would no longer do that, right?
Mr. Chair, yes. We would be able to capture the administrative dollars that were put into those site, into that site once again for administrative purposes.
So then the land acquisition account will not grow anymore.
No, Mr. Chair, members, when we do sell a piece of land, example, encroached WMAs, when we sell those in the Hastings area, Stillwater, the dollars of those from those proceeds go directly into the land acquisition account unless they go to pay off the – currently there's a $6.44 million number hanging over the state's heads on land sales. We're working to try to reach that number and pay off that debt. But unless it's withstanding that, those dollars would go into the land acquisition account.
Mr. Chairman, this bill will need to go to Finance Committee because we're dealing with accounts. So I would move Senate File 3056 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
Okay. Further discussion? I still don't understand. If the money from a sale was going to go into the land acquisition account, and it no longer will be, how does the land acquisition account remain unaffected?
Mr. Chair, members, currently, since there is no incentive to sell these facilities, we haven't been selling them.
Okay.
When they sell their lands, they would go in.
You're saying because there's no real benefit, you don't sell them.
Exactly,
so
Mr. Chair.
So if you can put it into your public, put it back into your facilities account, you can do new things and what you described.
Exactly.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Just for clarification, Mr. Meyer, the only money that's going to go into this facilities account is money from facility sales?
Mr. Chair, members, this facilities management account was established two bienniums ago now, I think, to help us capture these facilities costs such as fleet, IT costs, and things of that nature. We're expanding the purposes of that account right now so we would be able to capture our administrative costs, or the revenues from the sale of the administrative sites into the facilities management account to deal with the new language that I talked about on section or page 2. To acquire facilities, renovate existing buildings, or acquire land for design and construct administrative buildings.
When was the last time there was a deposit into the land acquisition account based on a sale of one of the facilities?
Mr. Chair, members, I tried to find that out today, and it's been quite a while, so I'm still working on that right now.
Okay. Well, this has still got to be heard by the Finance Committee, so if you can get that information, that'd be helpful.
Yes, sir.
On the motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your patience. Senator Scogin and Senator Fredrickson, you get the prize.
You can grind out quite a slab of sausage someday.
And I haven't stood up, so.
Oh, that's right.
In 5 hours. So, and I don't know if I could if I wanted to. Motion, meetings adjourned.